This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 2021 housing market forecasts. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys out there. I hope you're doing all right. I hope you guys are just crushing it in the real estate world. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of opportunity. We're going to hopefully encourage you a little bit in today's message, even though there are some dire predictions out there. I do want to encourage you to just keep moving forward. Keep doing your research. Keep looking at markets. Just analyzing properties. Practice your skills out there. If you're not buying, you should be saving, I hope, and putting money away so that you can. I think there are some good opportunities up ahead. So, okay, let me first give you the tip for the week, okay? Four important reports you should have as a multifamily owner. You should have these reports handy all the time. They should be always current and up to date. Now, if you have a property manager, that property manager should be able to produce these reports at the snap of a finger, like that. They should be able to provide this information. These are the things you need. Should always be updated and ready to go, because you could also be applying for a refinance if rates dropped real phenomenally low, or you got a great offer and you're ready to have the data handy for your potential buyer. Number one, updated rent rolls should always be updated, and you should have good data in there, like when did their lease start, when did their lease end, the amount, of course, square footage, those kinds of things should be included, should be a comprehensive updated rent roll. Number two, income and expense reports. Generally, you could have the most recent month, but I would always have T12s handy, okay, which means for the last 12 months, you should have all of your income and expenses outlined in detail. Operating budgets, that's an annual thing. You can have those available, as well as income forecasts or pro formas, which are also on an annual basis. So those are four reports you want to have available at your fingertips as a multifamily investor. Let's move on with our topic here, 2021 housing market forecasts. Well, and I have been, I don't know if you've been looking at a lot of things here, but my eyes are bugging out from looking at YouTube, after reading article, after doing research and just looking at the market to make determinations on how I want to invest for the year coming up. Already we're here in March, about a third through the year. We have seen some interesting things going on, but I thought, well, let's take a look at what other people are seeing and predicting at the same time. Let's look at some numbers and try to come up with a good idea of what the market's going to look like through the end of the year. Are there going to be good opportunities to invest during the years? Most of what I have found and researched, just the variety of material that is available, whether it's through federal government, whether it is through various articles, and research that's available just through online services. A lot of different ideas of what the market's going to look like. I think there is, an overall optimism, although there are those that are saying near the end of the year, we could see a major downturn. And I think that idea is coming from the idea of just looking at housing inventory. Housing inventory is really, I think, a key factor in the housing market right now. As we're looking, just looking back as far as December, the market at that time, inventory was around 1 million houses. But you know, we look at what's defined as a normal market. Now, the National Association of Realtors says that a six-month supply of houses is associated with what would be considered a moderate supply. And a six-month supply equals about 3 million homes. Now, today, we're probably somewhere around 1.9, close to 2 million. We need probably another million to get up to what would be considered a moderate supply. But there are a lot of factors that are impacting inventory, and inventory says a lot. And that's one of the reasons, despite COVID, despite crazy stuff going on in the economy, that the housing market has been strong, and it continues to be a seller's market. And not only that, but those numbers have been going up, and I'll go over that in just a moment with you. But just some of the factors that are impacting inventory, there are right now, there's a shortage of houses, and there's a lot of reasons why that is happening. One of which, when you have uncertain economic times, people don't necessarily want to sell, especially if they have a house that they own outright. They're not going to want to sell and maybe have to get another mortgage. They find security in a house that is fully owned, or at least a home that they've been in long enough, and maybe they know that they can afford that mortgage on it. There's also just a lot of people that are home, and that was impacted, of course, by COVID and the whole work from home movement that's happened, especially those that have been in office buildings for years and years that now are working remotely from their homes. What data is showing is that people actually enjoy working from their homes, and that there are some real advantages to that. So there's also those that are moving out of the city into the suburbs, and they're buying their own homes. For the first time in years, the millennials have made a major impact on housing, and they are buying homes. They're having children, they're having families, they are looking for that home. And in that home, they're hopefully going to have a place where they can set up an office too, where they can work remotely. So there's a lot of indicators. That's just a few of them that have really made, you know, sort of the lack of housing a reality. Plus this growing millennial group that wants homes, and they are getting into homes at the great rates that we have right now in the mortgage market. And they're even paying top dollar for homes, even over market for some homes, just to get into a home while they can. But I think we're going to see even a greater shortage that's going to be happening in inventory as we go along. Even though, yeah, they are building more houses, and people are also building apartment buildings and other ways to meet housing needs. But we have some major issues that are facing us, things like forbearance. Right now, you have people that forbearance, for those of you that don't know, it's basically the postponement of your mortgage payments that hopefully will allow you to be able to either get another job or be able to find a way to refinance or whatever it may be for that mortgage. But there, in this month alone, in March, there's going to be 600,000 people that have to deal with that question because their forbearance comes to an end. And next month, there's going to be 400,000 people that are going to have to deal with that. Then add to that the fact that there are delinquencies, a tremendous number of delinquencies right now. To be precise, about 3,557,000 people that are delinquent on their mortgage. And out of that, from that number, 2,200,000 are seriously delinquent. So these situations are something we can't just ignore. Now, granted, there may be government programs that'll come up and maybe extend forbearances or give special grace for delinquencies, but overall, these people are going to have to deal with these issues, and that may ultimately end up in foreclosure. And that's why a lot of people are predicting at the end of this year that there will be a major increase in inventory that may result as the effect of these forbearances and delinquencies. What's going to happen to those homes? Are the bank going to take them back? Are these people going to have to sell and try to settle what they owe already to the mortgage companies? So there's should be an increase in inventory as a result of that. Now, interest rates have been low and phenomenally low for quite a while. We just recently, last week, saw the biggest increase in the interest rates that has occurred in I think since 2019. So we are seeing sort of this up and down movement that's going on. Overall, there are predictions in the real estate world that there will be an increase ultimately in interest rates, but it will be small. Right now they're saying it may increase up to 3.4, which is still very low and very reasonable, but that will limit some people's ability to be able to purchase homes still, because it's going to be increasing, which means that their mortgage payment would be going up. So I think some of these areas are seriously having an impact. I think the fact that there is a work from home movement that would actually work to decrease inventory, because that means people are going to want to stay in their home or even get a home to be able to work from. We still have over 10 million people on unemployment right now. That would definitely increase inventory as people are going to have to deal with that if they aren't making enough in unemployment to be able to pay their mortgage, then that's going to bring more houses back in the market. On the renter side of things, the fact that you've got anywhere from 8 to 10 million people facing evictions right now is another factor that can seriously impact inventory as well. And then we also have new supply, so new housing units expected to be available in 2021. So these are new builds, be anywhere between 800 and 900,000. Of course, that's going to increase inventory, but not a lot. It's still, though, we hope to see that increase of, up to at least an additional 2 million increase in inventory. What we are expecting, though, is as the inventory declines, you will have a lot more sales activity. You'll have a lot more demand. You should be able to get higher prices for your for the homes that are for sale. But the problem is if you have this large number of unemployed, you have a lot of people foreclosing, then there's going to be a lot of houses put on the market, but what you're going to see is an actual price drop at that point. Some are predicting Q4 of 2021, the first part of 2022. Rent prices are expected to stay flat for 2021, but we'll see some increase in 2022, especially with the inventory issue. If inventory is low, there will be a lot more people renting. If incomes are impacted, of course, there's going to be more people renting than buying. So anything can change. The stimulus, may impact things. There may be other proposed legislation that may impact things. So like I mentioned, maybe they'll extend forbearances, or they'll extend eviction moratoriums, or whatever it may be. But what we're seeing is more sort of postponement. These are postponements of inevitable issues. If people are unemployed and there are not jobs, then we're not going to be able to see the economic impact that would positively build housing. So these are some of the areas that, again, that I'm seeing a little bit in terms of projections that sound pretty solid based on the data. that, yeah, mortgage rates will go up. Right now, it's an average about 3.2, that they would go up to 3.4 by year end. Then they're looking at existing home sales, maybe going up 7%. Single family home housing starts up 9%. Home ownership rate at 65.9%. So, and then the price appreciation could be as high as 5.7. So there's some pretty positive things you can look at in terms of projections by the housing industry itself. I think that the rise of millennials and their moving forward to purchase homes is going to be making a big difference too. Some of the other factors that can play into this as well is last week we did see mortgage rates go up, and we saw a pretty significant increase, as I mentioned. It hadn't been that high since April 2019. But then the following couple of days later, after this you know, pretty strong climb there, we saw a decline dropping down to where it was previously. So so there are some indicators there that, yeah, it may go up, may go down, may up and down until we round it out to slightly higher. And I think that, again, that's a conservative estimate. I think as far as the housing itself, I mean, we saw significant growth just over the last year. The average sale to list price ratio shot up 100.1%, and that was that's a record for that particular ratio. Key housing market takeaways are 100 plus U.S. metro areas during the 4 week period ending March 7th. Okay. You know, again, we saw that 17% home sale price increase. I think the average home in the country right now, 328, 350. That's the largest increase on record in this data set, which goes back from, through 2016. Asking prices of newly listed homes hit an all-time high of 349, 975, up 10% from the same time a year ago. Pending home sales were 19% year over year and up 3% from the 4 week period ending February 7th. In the 2 weeks since, pending sales dipped during the winter storms over the 7 day period ending February 21st. The weekly number of pending sales is up 17%. New listings of homes for sale were down 17% from a year earlier. Active listings fell 41% from 2020 to an all time low. This is the largest decrease on record in this data, which goes back through 2016. 56% of homes that went under contract had an accepted offer within the first 2 weeks on the market, well above the 45% rate during the same period a year ago. So you can see there's you know, they're both positive and negative, but most of it is phenomenal that this has, despite everything that's happened, that there have been significant increases in the housing market. Looking at those few factors aside, it still is uncertain as to how the inventory is going to be impacting the overall market. I've mentioned this before, is that real estate is a local market as well as it is a national market. And there are national market indicators and national market trends. But at the same time, there are certain markets that are sort of breaking the mold, so to speak, in terms of what's being done. And some of the projections for certain areas is pretty significant. For example, you know, as looking at a sort of a market by market basis, there are a few markets that are projecting significant growth. Boise, Idaho, for example, projecting a 9.8% sales growth in 2021 and a 9.1% price growth. So pretty significant. Now, you'll see in just a moment here that that's also one of those areas that is, there is a lot of growth. There's a lot of people moving to places like Boise. Also, Dallas-Fort Worth, which is no surprise, 11.3% projection for sales in 2021. Denver, 12.5% sales growth projected. Harrisburg, this is an interesting one, Harrisburg-Carlisle area of Pennsylvania, 14.4% projection in terms of sales growth. And then you have places like Kansas City, Las Vegas, both at 12%. So there's some significant projections for growth. Here's 17.2 for the Sacramento area. I think a lot of that is occurring because the Bay Area, people are leaving just like there's a fire going on there. And they're moving like crazy to the surrounding areas where they can still have access to their corporate headquarters, but can work from home. And I think those trends, the work from home trends, are affecting these areas in a major area. Another factor that you can look at too, when you look at these markets that where there is significant growth, are just from the data, and I've talked about this in the past, you know, U-Haul, North American Van Lines, they track people moving from one place to another. And U-Haul projected in their most recent study 2 million moves, okay, to the following locations. And these are, I'll just give you the top five. I have 10 here, but top five are Tennessee, number one, Texas, number two, Florida, number three, Ohio, number four, Arizona, number five. These are, you know, these are areas right now that are very favorable for renters, or great places to invest in too. They all happen to be red states, which is interesting. Also, a North American Van Line shows their top inbound five. Number one, Idaho. We saw the Boise projection there. Two, Arizona. Number three, South Carolina. Number four, Tennessee. Number five, North Carolina. So these are major areas where people are moving into. And the outbound is kind of interesting, and that's available through North American Van Lines. They're seeing people leaving. The number one states that people are leaving are Illinois, number one, New York, number two, California, number three, New Jersey, number four, and Maryland, number five. So that's pretty significant. The reasons why people are moving, the pandemic stands out as 25% of, say, and 35% say financial. So reasons are listed as affordability, safety, and that may be related to COVID. Family, it's a lot of people are moving to take care of family members that may be elderly, that they are concerned with the COVID and so forth. And weather is another factor there. So it's very interesting when you look at that, and you can see that these markets are also some of the booming markets in terms of investment right now, too. Then you also have areas that are declining. Home prices are actually declining, which is pretty unusual when you look at the nation as a whole, showing home sales up, you know, 17%, is areas like Destin, Florida, Honolulu, Bloomington, Illinois, Erie, Pennsylvania, Shreveport, Louisiana, and Terre Haute, Indiana, all areas where they are seeing a decline in home prices. And these also might be opportunity areas for investors too. The question is, you don't want to also buy in a place where it's going to continue to go down still yet. So there are, one of the interesting statistics too regarding moving is that 70 to 80% of those people that are moving within the same state. So not a lot of people are moving necessarily across the country, but they are moving to these other states. But there's also a lot of movement within states. And so that's something that you have to take a look at too. And that's why you'll see, for example, what they call fringe markets, where there is a significant amount of movement. Some of those cities that are rated high there, places like Stockton, California, which would be capturing a lot of the people coming from the San Francisco area. San Francisco, where, you know, a million plus homes are the average. You know, in the Stockton area, homes average about 480,000 median listing price. So, and then there's Rapid City, South Dakota, Burlington, North Carolina. Even Fort Wayne, Indiana is on here as one of those areas as number five. But I think that there's indicators here. If we take the time to investigate and research ourselves, we'll see that, yeah, there are some major shifts and changes happening in that in the housing industry. Ken McElroy, who we've had on our show here, is very, very active real estate investor, one of the top real estate investors in the country, is predicting that a crash will hit at the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. You have economists like Harry Dent who are saying that the stock market's going to experience its worst crash ever. I mean, there's a lot of forecasters out there, and I look at forecasters, but I would rather look at the data and try to come up with my own information there. And I think you should do the same. I think that there are some great places to buy. I think there are going to be even better opportunities later on as forbearance and some of these homes that are right now that are close to foreclosure, what's going to happen with those homes? If you know, that might be an opportunity, or it might just be something that will affect the inventory enough that housing prices will decline, which will create opportunities in itself. So as a real estate investor, you know, I think we should be aware of this data, should be reviewing it on a regular basis, going to places like census.gov, other areas. I like to go to some of the real estate portals, whether it's Realtor.com or Trulia, and look for data there and what they're seeing in terms of home trends and market trends. Those are all resources that we should all be tapped into on a regular basis. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything I talked about today will be outlined in detail in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.